I'll tell you, folks, there are some days it feels like I just got up from this microphone and I'm sitting back down at it again. Maybe it's because I'm starting to do this in my sleep. The first hour of Issues Etc. today is open lines. My goodness, do we have something to present to you? This is unbelievable. You may have heard about this, and we'll be hearing from some of the principals of this announcement about a March for Freedom of Choice that's going to take place April 25th, 2004. The advance announcement of this was a big to-do in, I believe this was at the, in Washington, D.C., where this was all announced. They pulled out all the stops. They brought in all the big guns. The women are ready to march in 2004, April 25th. They're going to march for their freedom of choice. We'll be talking about it during this first hour of Open Lines, Issues, Etc. And we'll let you hear from some of the girls on the subject as well. As well as one guy who chimes in as well, a Baptist minister who's for a woman's right to choose. First hour is Open Lines, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. In the second hour of the program, the front page story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today regarding a criticism by the St. Louis Archdiocese on some organ transplants. Did you see the story? Had a little chart as well trying to distinguish between brain death and cardiac death. We'll be talking about that with Father Ed Richard of Kenrick Glennon Seminary, and we'll see what he has to say about transplanting organs from people who are merely heart dead. What's the difference between that and brain dead? We'll find out in the second hour of Issues, Etc. In hour three, making Christian ethics in the workplace a reality. How do you take the workplace, which is fraught with all sorts of compromise and ethical dilemmas, and make it into a place where ethics is the rule of the day? Jim Truesdell, co-author of our Issues, Etc. book of the month for June, titled Christian Ethics in the Workplace, will join us. And we'll be talking with Dr. Leon Pottles, author of The Church Impotent, about the importance of fathers to church going. We've talked with him before about the disparity between male and female on Sunday morning. It's about 60-40 on average in church on Sunday morning. 60% female, 40% male. Why is that? And why could the church use not just a few good men, but a few more good fathers? We'll talk about that in the last hour of Issues, Etc. Dr. Leon Pottles will be our guest. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Here's the news release. I'll read it for you, and then we'll hear from some of the girls. To demonstrate overwhelming majority support for a woman's right to choose safe, legal abortion and birth control, the largest pro-choice majority in history will march in Washington Sunday, April the 25th, 2004. For the first time ever, this pro-choice march is a collaborative effort. Four leading national women's rights groups have come together to organize this momentous event. Now listen to the names of some of the groups. These are the big guns. The Feminist Majority, NAROL Pro-Choice America, they used to just be NAROL, the National Organization for Women, and Planned Parenthood Federation of America, otherwise known simply as Planned Parenthood, are the principal organizers for the March for Freedom of Choice and have pooled efforts and resources to lay the groundwork. Other progressive organizations have signed on as co-sponsors, offering everything from member participation to help spreading the word and help defraying the cost. The march will begin on April the 25th, 2004 at noon from the Lincoln Memorial, although participants may be there as early as 10 a.m. Then there's going to be a rally from 1 to 4 on the mall, I believe, and the rally will be offered, I'm sure, on television as well. First, let's get some more details on this march from Jennifer Heidel of the Feminist Majority Leadership.
I'm here to announce a historic event, which will take place on April 25th, 2004. Feminist Majority, NARAL Pro-Choice America, National Organization for Women, and Planned Parenthood are coming together to call a march on Washington to protect women's fundamental right to reproductive freedom. You will see at this march that my generation stands firmly for reproductive freedom.
Next, Gloria Felt of Planned Parenthood International on reproductive rights.
I will tell you that we refuse to be the generation that both won and lost reproductive rights. the right to get birth control, the right to decide what to do about childbearing, the right to choose abortion, those are fundamental human rights.
Now, that's Gloria Felt from Planned Parenthood International. Her voice might even sound familiar to you. She refuses to be one of the generation who both won and lost reproductive rights. She believes it is a fundamental human right. Remember yesterday when we were talking with Hadley Arkus? And near the end of the interview, I just happened to mention to Hadley, or ask Hadley, hey, Hadley, tell us about your new book, Natural Rights and the Right to Choose. And he laid out a little thesis for us. Gloria Felt has fallen right into the trap, by the way. She says that the woman's right to choose is a fundamental human right. The next time someone says that to you, dear listener, ask them this: when did you get that right? Just ask them that question. When did you get that right? They have only two choices. Let them choose. After all, they have a right to choose. They have two choices. They can either say, I was born with it. It is my right as a fundamental right of being a human being. In other words, I was conceived with the right to choose. Or they have to say, that right became mine by virtue of government fiat in 1973 when the Roe versus Wade decision came down, and they gave me the right. But either way, their goose is cooked. Because if the government gave you the right, it can take it away. The government does this all the time. Rights that it gives to people, it can withdraw from people. And if the government gave you, oh woman, your right to choose, it can take it away for any reason it chooses. Now, this will probably get the hair standing up on the back of their neck. Well, no. It is a fundamental human right. The right to choose is a fundamental human right that is mine because I am a human being. I'm a woman. Well, when did you become a woman? Weren't you a woman from the time of conception? See, I don't understand. How can this right to choose be yours from the time you became a woman, the time you were conceived as a woman? Sex is determined at conception, not sometime later. You know this whole XY chromosome thing? By the time the thing comes together, it's already X or XY or whatever it is, determining male and female. It's very simple. If it became your right when you were conceived, well, don't you have to be able to live to exercise that right? I mean, how can you deny the little girl in the womb the right to live and exercise her right to choose? It puts them in a completely untenable position. Gloria Felt went on. She talks about making women, or women making their own health decisions.
Planned Parenthood stands for the principles that women, in consultation with their physicians, should make their own reproductive and health decisions, not politicians and not the government.
Now, this is an old one. It's an oldie but a goodie, isn't it, folks? It should be the woman in consultation with her physician and not... Now, let me come back to that. And not governments and not politicians. And some of us might even say, well, yeah, I guess that makes a lot of sense because I don't want the government making that kind of decision for me, and certainly not some politician. Some guy with his hair slicked back, wearing a $1,000 suit, sitting in a lobbyist office. Who knows if he's on the take? He's going to make this kind of decision for me? No, I don't want that. Let's step back to what she said before. A woman in consultation with her physician should make this choice. Do you know what she's really talking about? Gloria Felt is really not talking about a woman sitting in her doctor's office or OBGYN's office. That's not what she's talking about. That's not where abortions take place. She's talking about a woman, more often than not, a girl, not a woman, a girl, someone under the age of 21 or 18, not consulting with her physician, but in fact consulting with a guy she's never met before, whose only purpose in walking into that office is to abort her baby. I wouldn't call that a physician. He may have the MD certificate hanging on the wall, but I don't see how you can call him her physician. By the way, our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I will react here and there to some of this, some of these comments made at the announcement of the 2004 April 25th March for the Freedom of Choice. But you feel free to comment as well. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. And you just couldn't have a press conference with this cast of characters without someone taking a shot at Attorney General John Ashcroft. So, here again is Gloria Feld.
For every John Ashcroft who would use religion as an excuse to deny rights, there is a real woman who comes to a Planned Parenthood clinic needing more than a prayer and a song to maintain control over her body.
Oh my goodness. You know, but John Ashcroft is a scary individual to a lot of people. I mean, just look at him. He has that kind of Frankenstein-esque quality to him a little bit. And he is a fundamentalist Christian, and he is rather uptight. Although he really has nothing whatsoever to do with the debate over a woman's reproductive rights in the United States today. He's just Attorney General. But when did that ever matter? Let's just bring him in for every John Ashcroft out there trying to curtail your rights. There's a woman who needs more than a prayer and a song to maintain control over her body. Now, this is interesting. As though someone is actively trying not to there is someone trying actively in that young woman's body to maintain some control, just to stay alive. It's the baby. You see, it's not John Ashcroft in the womb. It's the baby in the womb. And although they may trot out John Ashcroft in order to scare people, and that's what's going on here, you notice there's no argument. There is no whatsoever, none whatsoever, evidence, arguments, logic at work here. It is there's no argument of why a woman should choose or why a woman should have a right to choose. Those things are all assumed. The only thing that is being done here is simply trotting out the scariest people they can, like John Ashcroft, to scare women, as though John Ashcroft were standing outside the abortion clinic trying to control a woman's body with a prayer and a song. The only one fighting here for anything, in reality, is the baby in the womb, and all they're fighting to do is stay alive. But you know, that's the scariest thing that these pro-choicers can think of. They just dress the baby up like John Ashcroft. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Next, Kim Gandy of the National Organization for Women on the future of Roe v. Wade.
If George W. Bush has an opportunity to put even one 40-something justice on that court in the mold of anti-abortion judges Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas, Roe will be lost to us for not the next 4 years or 8 years or 12 years, but literally for generations, for the next 35 or 40 years that justice sits on the bench. Roe will be lost for the entire reproductive life of my 10-year-old daughter. And so we will march. We will march by the hundreds of thousands from all over the country, marching for our mothers, marching for our daughters, marching for ourselves, marching to save women's lives.
That's Kim Gandy of the National Organization for Women. Now, I don't know if you noticed this. She's simply trying to scare the women a little bit more, saying, look, if George W. Bush gets just one of those kind of justices on the court, the Supreme Court, we'll lose Roe, not for 4 years, but for an entire generation. And I was appalled and shocked, and the blood literally ran cold in my veins with the next thing she said. Did you notice it? She said Roe would be lost for the entire reproductive life of my 10-year-old daughter. That's a very sentimental way of saying my daughter won't be able to have an abortion. My grandchildren will not be able to be killed in an abortion clinic. And she's sad about it. She's worried about it. She's scared. And she wants to scare others, too. Well, here's more fear-mongering from Kate Michelman. I mean, we're pulling out the big guns. Why not bring in Kate Michaelman, too, of NARAL Pro-Choice America?
Some time ago, Justice Blackmun, in the Webster decision in 1989, talked about a chill wind blowing for American women, a wind that was beginning to develop gale force that would take away the right to choose. Well, that gale wind is blowing at full force right now. So it comes down, I believe it comes down to this single moment in time. Since Washington politicians won't stand up for women's freedoms and women's liberties and protect our rights, it becomes increasingly clear that only a powerful, mobilized, pro-choice movement can avert the devastating consequences of women losing their right to choose. And again, that moment is April 25th, 2004. And we have a single message, a single, simple message for anti-choice leaders who control the White House, who control the Congress, and indeed, who control the state legislatures. And that message is, don't tread on us, don't tread on our constitutional rights, and don't tread on our right to privacy and freedom of choice.
Okay, that's Kate Michaelman of NARAL Pro-Choice America. We will hear a little bit later from some other messages from some of the people who are announcing the March for Freedom of Choice that they say will be held Sunday, April the 25th, 2004. Why Sunday? That's what I want to know. Why Sunday? I'll get back to Kate Michaelman here in just a second, but why Sunday? Are these women not dedicated enough to women's right to choose to not do it on a work day, to take some vacation days and do it? Why do it on a weekend? I mean, for heaven's sakes, the news media aren't even around on Sunday. I don't know. Now, she says that we have a moment in time approaching on April 25th, 2004, to send a message to all the enemies of women's reproductive choice, who control, apparently, as far as she can tell, everything. She even included state legislatures. I wonder if she's been to Illinois lately, where the state legislature and the governorship and just about the dog catcher and the garbage collector are all pro-choice. Apparently not. And she wants to send a message, and that message, she says, will only be by a powerful and organized pro-choice lobby. I'll just be blunt with you folks. I am sick and tired of hearing pro-choice organizations portray themselves as the oppressed, the downtrodden, the underfunded, the disenfranchised, the ignored, the people without a voice. This entire news conference, for what it's worth, was posted as a link on CNN and their website. Sorry, C-SPAN. They have a choice. Whenever Kim Gandy wants to go and talk on television, she goes. She has an open invitation. No one is stifling her voice. And organized? What do you call the National Organization for Women? They're organized. They want to depict that, and the last words she spoke there are about oppression and repressing a woman's right to choose. Are pregnant women victims? Is that what this is? I do not know whether or not they could be successful in convincing a woman the minute she takes out the pregnancy test and sees the little plus or the minus or whichever one says, yeah, you're pregnant. I do not know if they'll be able to convince that woman that the minute she sees that little symbol, she's become a victim. Maybe they could, but I'd like to ask that woman, a victim of what? Of the man? We're assuming this was consensual, right? Otherwise, you'd be at the police station reporting a rape, right? Victim of your own poor choice? You say you have the right to choose, and yet, are you a victim of your own choice? How do you know the choice you're about to make to go kill this baby is going to be the right one if the choice you made last night with Joe Blow from down the street between the sheets wasn't the right one. How can I trust your choice? You seem to... I don't know. If one choice was a mistake. But you see, the woman, they're not trying to convince the woman that she's a victim of the man or a victim of her own choices. They're trying to convince the woman that she's a victim of the baby in her womb. The baby in her womb is a hostile force that needs to be taken out. That's what it is. Yeah, Don Matzett once said that he was preconceptually pro-choice. That is, before the baby's conceived, I'm all for choice. We'll hear in a few minutes one of these pro-choice ladies talk about and compare pregnancy to a disease. Keep your ears open for that one. The baby, it's like a tumor. It's dangerous. It's going to kill me if I don't get it out of me. With the time left here, let's hear one more pro-choice leader. Here's Eleanor Smeal of the Feminist Majority on the suffering of women.
It's one thing to suffer from a disease we don't have the cure for and are searching for the cure. It's another to cause undue suffering because we do not have access to family planning or legal abortion in much of the world.
Do you see what she's saying, folks? She is saying, look, there are diseases that people suffer with that we don't have the cure for, but we have the cure for pregnancy. It's abortion. That's what she's saying. You tell me, anyone who's out there who's pro-choice, who just heard what Eleanor Smeal had to say, you tell me how what she just said wasn't that pregnancy is a disease for which we have a cure, abortion. I gotta hand it to them, folks. They're at least consistent. Now, I'm going to save the rest of these sound bites for after the break. We've got a whole hour of open lines. We've already used up half of it, for heaven's sakes, just listening to the girls from NARAL, Pro-Choice America, Planned Parenthood, the Feminist Majority, the National Organization for Women. We'll hear from a few more. And you know what? When we come back, we're going to hear from a Baptist pastor, the Reverend Timothy McDonald of the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. I will take your phone calls as well, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So call during this break. It's a great time to get in, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Your reaction to this? They have told us it's coming, April 25th, 2004. It will happen. We'll hear more of the same. They're planning ahead. Shouldn't we plan ahead? What do you think about this? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And in the second hour of the program, we'll be talking about organ donation with someone who believes that this organ donation, in some cases, is being done prematurely. When we come back, more from this rally. Well, it wasn't really a rally. It was just a press conference of all the principles of the pro-choice movement in America, all together in one place, on one dais, speaking into one microphone, with one voice, saying that women are about to lose their right to choose. We'll be right back.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If Christian doctrine can be true or false, can Christian practice also be true or false? Is Christian practice always neutral? What's the relationship between Christian doctrine and Christian practice? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. You'll find answers to these questions in the latest edition of the Issues Etc. Journal. I've written an article titled Doctrine and Practice, and you can receive a complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. Journal by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. I've also written an article on the Lord's Supper titled Responding to Real Absence Arguments. Plus, you'll find a list of tape and book resources on issues such as American evangelicalism, church history, biblical interpretation, and much more. Ask to receive a complimentary copy of the Issues Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer on people suffering from the AIDS epidemic in Africa. A call has gone out for Christians to use their skills in helping adults and children in different African countries suffering from AIDS. Action International Ministries is hoping for at least 10 workers, but the staff is praying for up to 30 workers who can serve in areas including evangelism, children's ministries, medical personnel, and relief personnel. Places of service include Zambia, Malawi, and Uganda. In Zambia and Malawi, there are several hundred thousand children who are now orphans due to the AIDS crisis and other disasters like famine and war. Pray for Africans suffering from AIDS to discover Christ's love. Pray that Christians will also go to serve them. Learn how to pray for global outreaches and use your skills worldwide. Log on to the internet site missionvisionnetwork.org and click on the opportunities page. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. The Susan G. Komen Foundation is in the forefront of the fight against breast cancer. This Saturday, the foundation is sponsoring a race in St. Louis. Joyce Wadler chronicled her battle with breast cancer. She wrote, "I feel myself getting more depressed and try to think of the best way to fight it. Cancer plus depression, ugh." But as Joyce said, both need to be fought. The word cancer no longer means a death sentence. Today there are more and more cancer survivors than ever before. Reason to hope. The biblically based person has another reason to hope. Psalm 94, verses 18 and 19 say, "When I said my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." Yes, good reasons for hope. Not only cancer, but death itself will be defeated. Jesus Christ must rule until God has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy he will get rid of is death. 1 Corinthians 15:24-26. Yes, there's hope for every one of you battling cancer.
Hi, I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Reginald Hebert's great hymn, "Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty," was originally written for congregational singing on the Feast of the Holy Trinity this Sunday. But it does have a biblical origin, these words. And we're going to talk about that biblical origin, the calling of Isaiah, this week on In His Steps.
Listen to In His Steps, Saturday at noon with Pastor Doug Nicely on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's open lines. We're hearing from some of the ladies at the announcement for the March for Freedom of Choice that will take place in just under a year in Washington, D.C. The thing that makes this really a kind of an historic event is that all of the major organizations, all of the principal organizations in the pro-choice movement are coming together to do this march, and they're putting all of their resources behind it. The Feminist Majority, Neighbor All Pro-Choice America, the National Organization for Women, and Planned Parenthood Federation of America, just to mention a few. The others don't bear mentioning. Those four are the big four big hitters. Now, I said before the break that at least they're consistent. I did not mean that the pro-choicers who are making all these arguments and scaring people and telling people that pregnancy is a disease are logically consistent. They're not logically consistent. We started out in some of the reaction to the first sound. There is no logic to this. They say it's a fundamental human right to choose, and yet they deny even the right to live to other human beings. I mean, either it's a fundamental right that you have from the time you come into being, or, for heaven's sakes, you don't have any rights when you come into being. So they're not logically consistent. They are consistent in kind of the malfeasance, in the misuse of terms like rights. They're consistent in their fear-mongering. They're consistent in believing the baby to be the real enemy that must be eradicated in order for a woman to have control over her body and the right to choose. They're consistent in that. I guess I should say they're consistent in their wickedness and in their wicked ideas. And you would say, oh, these people are atheists, they're agnostics, these are just the radical left, godless people. And yet, also standing at the dais was one Reverend Timothy McDonald, so-called theologian. He's from the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. And he's talking about the religious right.
Because I know what the radical religious right has been about for several decades. How they have fought to turn back the clock on civil rights, human rights, and the right of women to choose. Our battle is a common battle. And we will not give one inch to religious extremists who, in the name of God, have sought to take away the woman's right to choose. Not one inch.
That's Timothy McDonald. He's from the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice. He's a little concerned about the religious right, what he calls the radical religious right. And what he's done there, if you could get past that rhetoric, he has made a linkage between the civil rights movement and the pro-choice movement. And he's basically said they are one movement. They are just, one is an outgrowth of the other. But I would ask the Reverend McDonald, who were the oppressed in the civil rights movement? It was the black people, right? Right? And before that, in slavery, it was the black man and woman who were being oppressed. Who are the oppressed in the pro-choice movement? It's not the women. The women get to choose. The women have freedom. The women get to do whatever they want to. The women get to go sleep around with impunity and take care of it 3 weeks later at the abortion clinic. The oppressed under the pro-choice movement are, in fact, the babies. The Reverend McDonald's arguments sound curiously like the arguments made by slave owners during the abolitionist movement. That they were the ones who were having their rights impugned. No, if you free the slaves, don't you understand? You will be curtailing my rights as a slave owner. And you'll be hurting me economically. You'll be oppressing me. How will I be able to produce cotton and other things, other crops, with the same kind of profit? You will be economically oppressing me if you make me free my slaves. Ironic, isn't it? The Reverend McDonald sounds a lot like one of those slave owners. And Pastor McDonald of the Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice also has a few things about his future vision for America.
You're going to see in America a diverse group of people from all persuasions, from all religions, from all social status coming together, and that will be the real America. That would be the true America, an America that stands up for human decency, an America that stands up for the woman's right to choose, an America that stands in solidarity with all of those who have been oppressed and abused.
You know, I would love to see that America, except for the one that's the kind of America that stands up for the woman's right to choose, the way he's defining it. Because if we did live in an America where we stood up and stood behind those who were oppressed and abused, one of the first categories of people that we would be standing up for would be the unborn. I cannot think of a greater instance of abuse than not even allowing a human being to breathe their first breath, to see their first glimpse of light, to see their mother's face, to experience life. I can't think of anything more abusive than that. He seems to believe that if we had more of those babies exterminated before they could breathe their first breath or see their first light or see their mother's face, and why would their mother even want to see them? The mother doesn't want to see them. He seems to believe that that would be the model America. Okay, so they've brought out virtually every leader from every pro-choice organization to have their say and to help announce this March for the Freedom of Choice, April 25th, 2004. And they've brought in the prerequisite race card. They've brought in the prerequisite black minister from the South who can say that he's also pro-choice and it's not inconsistent with his religious beliefs. Whatever. The cast of characters is not yet full, though. There is one stock character from whom we have not heard. What about the oppressed lesbian? No, she will never reproduce. She never plans to. She can't, in fact, by virtue of her choice of orientation, if it is a choice. Gloria Nieto of the Latino Lesbian and Gay Organization, she was there. Here's Mrs. Nieto's message for politicians.
I have a message. We are going to vote. We're not. We will remember in November and in April and in February. And so it's not just a message for the Republican administration now. It's a message for all the Democrats running for president. This is not a negotiable item. You're either with us or against us. And I have one other message. You cannot touch my body.
Oh. I will leave the reaction to you, folks. She has two messages, one for all politicians and the other one being, you can't touch my body. Why would a lesbian have a stake in this, I ask you? I mean, the last time I checked, lesbians were fighting for the right to adopt children. It's very difficult to adopt children after they've been aborted. I mean, a lesbian has chosen the path that is sterile. She's chosen to vent her sexual energies in a direction that is non-productive. Why would she have anything to say on reproductive rights? I mean, a man, unless he's a black minister who says that he'll kowtow to the woman's right to choose, has nothing to say. And by the way, Mrs. Nieto, no one except your lesbian lover is interested in touching your body. So don't worry. Finally, here's Jennifer Heidel, again, from the Feminist Leadership Alliance. She's not happy. Now, she doesn't say it in that way, by the way, so brace yourselves. She's not happy with the Bush administration.
To my generation, the right to reproductive choice is similar to the right to vote or the right to free speech. This is our march. Thank you. This is our march. This is our chance to tell the nation that we are pissed off about what Bush is doing to this country. We will not. Thank you.
You can always count on that to get a laugh at one of these rallies. A lot of them had to say things about George W. Bush, by the way. They literally consider him to be the devil. And the amazing thing is George W. Bush has been a pro-life president. He does hold a lot of promise, but there's also been some significant compromises there, too. But that's not the way this works. You see, unless a president is willing, and an administration, and a Congress, and a court, willing to completely lay down and say, okay, we will offer absolutely no obstacles, no regulation, no oversight, no record-keeping, no nothing on abortion. Abortion is the right that trumps all other rights, unless someone is willing to do that in public office, they're not happy with them. I also find it ironic that a woman who is a professor at George Washington University has to resort to a more guttural way of expressing her anger. I mean, you would think she'd have a better vocabulary. I mean, just in terms of being able to express herself. But anything for an applause line. I'd like your reaction to this. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The girls have had their say. Now I'd like to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. In particular, what about Pastor McDonald there, who had to say that he believed that America, the ideal America, the kind of America he wants to live in, would be a pro-choice America. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Please don't wait until April 25th, 2004, to finally register opinion on something like this. Their tune isn't going to change. Janine's calling from St. Charles. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much. I hope you don't mind taking my call. You covered some of what I wanted to say while I was on hold.
I don't mind at all.
My husband and I lived in Washington for a while, and they had a commercial that they had out there running every night on prime time where they would talk about that they have the right to choose and to live with those consequences, meaning that I would be okay, they would be okay with the abortion, and that it's their right to make that decision and have to go through that pain. The thing that just frustrated my husband and I so much is that do they not realize when they choose to get into bed, that in itself is their choice, and the consequence of that, whether or not they get pregnant, could be a baby, and that is what they need to live with. And it just is so, I would like to know if there's any people that are pro-abortion out there. What do they call the choice when they get into bed? Is that not the choice that they're hoping for? Is that not enough? I don't, you know, that is the choice that they make. And when they're pregnant, you know, then they want the choice for murder. And you just can't do that.
Janine, you have hit the nail right on the head. Thank you for the call. That is the point I was trying to make before, and she's made it so much better than I could have. And that is this. The woman's right to choose is not about, it's my right to choose and I'll live with the consequences. It is about the opposite. They do not want to live with the consequences of their choices. This is about evading the consequences of one choice, and that is the choice to get in bed and conceive a child. It is that choice they don't want to, it's the consequences of that choice that they do not want to live with. And I find it ironic to say, it's our choice and we'll exercise it and we'll live with the consequences. What about the baby? The baby does not live with the consequences. The baby dies with the consequences of that choice. It's a fact conveniently left out of the argument. Thank you, Janine. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Kent's up next, calling from his car. Kent, welcome.
Hi, Todd. You just stole my thunder there with the last remark.
You got any more thunder?
I do. Did you see an interview this weekend where presidential candidate Gephardt indicated that if he were president, he would only pick justices for the Supreme Court who... what did he say? Who would be in keeping with court precedent and have proper respect for court precedent, right? Well, but by that logic, if Roe v. Wade can never be overturned because it is court precedent, well, the homosexual sodomy case now, the court has already ruled on homosexual sodomy in 1986, right?
You're absolutely right. Yes.
Georgia upheld that as constitutional, therefore it can never be challenged. I mean, that's how their logic winds up going.
Well, you know,
or slavery or something, which the Supreme Court upheld for decades.
Absolutely, it upheld it on more than one occasion for not just for, well, I mean, one might even argue for the better part of 100 years. The court,
exactly,
at least by its silence,
so,
upheld it.
For them to argue something like that is just either disingenuous or genuinely ignorant.
Kent, thank you very much for the call. He mentions the Democratic candidate Gephardt. He appeared on Face the Nation. And doesn't this just further illustrate that abortion is the one inalienable right, that the pro-choice movement has decided that we ought to rewrite our founding documents? They will no longer read, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." The only inalienable right that exists for the pro-choice movement is the woman's right to choose. It's unassailable. It's unchallengeable. It's unquestionable. Therefore, we would rewrite that original document to simply read, "We hold this truth to be self-evident, that..." Well, we got to leave out that part about all men being created equal. We got to leave that out because of what we're about to say here. That men have one inalienable right, or maybe we should just say it this way. They would rewrite it to say, women have one inalienable right, the right to choose. Period. We hold this truth to be self-evident, women have the right to choose. Well, wait a minute. That's what they say all the time, isn't it? It's a rewriting of the American Charter. And in order to rewrite it that way, you've got to leave out the right to life and to liberty. I'm waiting for some politician to pick up on the notion that you can't live free in America unless you're able first to live in America. And when we deny the baby the right to breathe its first breath outside the womb, we are denying the baby the right to live free. That baby is a U.S. citizen. The last time I checked, being conceived in America was good enough to give you citizenship. Your father could be from Mars and your mother could be Iranian, but if you're conceived in America, you're an American. Unless they decide to abort you. We are denying these babies the right to live free. You can't exercise the second inalienable right, that is liberty, or the pursuit of happiness for that matter, unless you're granted the first one, or at least allowed to exercise it. The phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I'll get back to the phones here in just a second. Kent made me think here. I'd written down the word Democrats for a reason. One of the ladies there who had, in making the announcement for the March for Freedom of Choice, said that they were sending a message not only to Republicans but to Democrats and every Democrat running for president. I got news for you, sister. Every Democrat running for president has heard that message a long time ago. They have bowed beneath the limbo bar as far as they can bend backward in order to declare themselves, every last one of them, trying to outdo each other in their adamancy about being in favor of a woman's right to choose. That message has been sent and received a long time ago. Renee is calling from St. Anne. Renee, thank you for waiting and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. My comment was that, you know, women do have a right to choose, either, like you said earlier, to have sex or not to have sex, to be safely protected or not to. But, you know, these women who are getting on saying about pro-choice and this and that, they don't talk about what happens to the woman after they've had an abortion. All the years of therapy and the turmoil and the guilt that just kills you inside every day. And you can't go back and redo what you did. You can't give that baby's life back. And when these people go into these family planning centers of whatever, and they sit there and say, want to talk about planning a family, no, what they're doing is convincing you to abort your child and that you have a right so that you get rid of your guilt. But it's not your choice to do. And I've been a Christian, and unfortunately I did have an abortion when I was very young, and it was very difficult for me to get through. It took me years in therapy and counseling, and there's nothing you can do to give that child back life.
Well, Renee, I'll tell you what, you have the forgiveness that Jesus purchased for you at the cross. You have that. And that is enough.
Yes, and I know that Christ has forgiven me, and I have forgiven myself. And when the Lord calls me home, I will be able to see my child and tell him or her, I'm terribly sorry, and I loved you.
Renee, thank you for the call. That is one of the things they don't talk about, is it? I mean, they don't talk about the woman after abortion. They don't talk about the woman who is... They do depict it as, when you exercise this right, can you imagine how devastating it must be? I want you to picture for yourself a moment. And by the way, we will be continuing open lines here for about 25 minutes, if possible, after this break, to hear more from you, your reaction to the recent announcement that there will be a big March for the Freedom of Choice, April 25th, 2004, led by none other than the leaders of the feminist majority, NARAL, Pro-Choice America, the National Organization for Women, and Planned Parenthood Federation of America as well. But in these last few minutes of the hour, before we continue with open lines after that, can you imagine, let's just do it for a moment. Men, feel free to do this as well. You can bring out the feminine side a bit, maybe. You are a 19-year-old college student. And I'm not choosing an extreme example here. You were a 19-year-old college student. You went to a party and you hooked up with some guy. He's a loser. You didn't know him before. You don't know him now. You don't really care to know him. But you hooked up. And now, a week and a half later, you're starting to suspect that something's gone terribly wrong. And that was not the best choice you've ever made in your life. You're afraid you might be pregnant. He's not returning your calls. You're not going to tell your parents. You're not going to tell anybody. You go and you get the pregnancy test from the grocery store. You bring it back. You administer it, and you find out, to your horror, but you knew it was coming, that you are pregnant. At this point, the pro-choicer would enter and say to you, you have only one way out. You can't tell your parents. Forget about the loser who impregnated you. Don't tell your roommate. Don't go and talk to anybody. Hasten quickly to the abortion clinic and get this taken care of. And when you do, the pro-choicer will promise you that you will be exercising a fundamental human right. You will be doing something quintessentially American. You will be doing something quintessentially female. You will be exercising the very essence of your womanhood by exercising this right to choose. Now, can you imagine the devastation as this 19-year-old girl, who is terrified because she's found herself pregnant, with no one to support her, of course she hasn't taken the time to even talk to her parents about it, and of course the law doesn't require that she do this, seek their permission, their assent, or anything. Can you imagine the devastation? She's been told, she's even been given a bit of courage to go and go to the abortion clinic, because she's been told that when she does, it will be a glorious moment for women everywhere. Yet another woman is being quintessentially female, exercising the very essence of her womanhood by choosing to abort her child. She will be striking a blow for women all over the world. She will be doing courageously. She doesn't feel courageous, by the way. She feels terrified. But she will be doing courageously what other women don't have the courage to do and have paid the consequences for many days over, having to take care of those whining, brawling, squirming children. She's also been told that when she does this, she will be ensuring for herself a future that is brighter. She'll be able to go back to class and get that degree and start that career and marry the guy she really wants to marry and have the children she really wants to have, not this one. The ones she really wants to have 10 years from now when her career's underway. And yet, when she aborts that child, she is left with nothing but guilt and pain. Picture yourself in her shoes. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.